In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our epistle reading, Philippians, the second chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have this mind among yourselves always as you live your life in this world as a Christian. Be humble. That is, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Don't put yourself in a posture where everyone would somehow be better off if they praised and lauded and magnified your name among everybody else. And also, at the same time, don't think so poorly of yourself as to hate the body that God has given you, or to despair of the life that you have. Both of these things are little more than selfish idolatry. Both of these things stick you at the center of your life and the center of your own little world and universe. Consider today Christ. Consider Christ, who was humble. He did not despise himself, nor did he despise his neighbor. In humility, Jesus acted out of patience and obedience, in love for his Father, and in love for you. He loved you to the end. This is the humility to which you as a Christian and I as well are called. To be patient, to be kind, to be obedient. It is a humility that serves. It is a humility that our world does not know and it cannot give. Our world is set on itself. Our world loves itself. Our world is narcissistic and self-indulgent and self-serving. Patience is mocked. You know the old saying, I need it, I want it, and I needed it and wanted it yesterday. Humility is considered to be a vice, isn't it? I'll give you an example. As I drive around to do visits in Fargo or Lidgerwood or Hankinson, you know what I never see? I never see a bumper sticker that says, humble parent of an honor student. I don't ever see that. Do I? I see the proud parent of an honor student. Now, that's wrong to be proud about your honor student, but it's our posture. We are tempted to boast in ourselves. We are tempted to put our name above every name, to flaunt our accomplishments and our knowledge and superiority, and to make others believe that the world would be better if they just shut up and listen to us for just 5 minutes. Our house, our schools, our society, they would be fixed. It's not just out there in the world. It's the posture of us Christians as well. Repent. You and I are not humble, not even a little bit. We love the praises of men, we love the glory, the honor, and we love being put above others. But not Christ. Christ humbles himself. Think about this. He who is God left his throne on high to do what? To enter into a mortal body that suffers, that ages, that bleeds, that decays, that grows old. He leaves. He sets aside all divinity. He does not consider, St. Paul says, equality with the Father something to be grasped. He makes himself take on human flesh, a mortal body, so that he could be subject to suffering, subject to our sorrows, our sins, our crying, our mourning, our torture, our death. In this great humility, he remains steadfast. Does he consider, when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, does he consider for one moment calling the holy angels from heaven to fight for him? No, he does not. He does not at all. He submits himself to be arrested. When he rides into Jerusalem today, does he do so on the things that are fit for kings? In his day, horses, chariots, the strength of man. No. Look at what he rides in on. A donkey. A donkey. What status is a donkey in his day and his age? When he is hanging on the cross and those ears are filled with mockery, does he come down and show the world once and for all who he is? Does he come down from the cross and say, see what I told you? Stop laughing at me. Stop mocking me. Don't you know, standing before you, I'm down from that cross and I'm about to send you to your destruction. Does he do any of that? No. He submits himself to the will of the Father. He is obedient unto death, even death upon the cross. The thorns, the whips, the chains. He even submits himself to the worst death a criminal could undergo. The worst of criminals. The death reserved for kidnappers, treasonous soldiers who turned their backs and ran away. The kidnappers, the child molesters, you name it. That's the punishment that he undergoes. He is numbered among the worst sinners, hung upon the cross. Dear saints of the living God, let this mind be among yourself, which is yours today already in Christ Jesus. This obedience, this patience is already in you. God has put his mark of the cross on your forehead and on your heart. He has called you out of the sin and death of this world. He has called you to himself. Not called you out of the world. Called you to live your life in him. To follow his example. Do not consider yourself then in honor and privilege and in some sort of right and essential things that are owed to you. Here's how you live your life. Husbands, submit to and love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Serve and love them as well. Children, obey your parents as is right in the Lord and serve them. Parents, love your children. Do not exasperate them. Feed them, clothe them, love them, bring them here. Teach them the things of God. Train a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he shall not depart from it. Don't be lazy at work. Don't gossip about your coworkers. Serve one another. Be patient in kindness and humility. When someone sins against you, do not hold a grudge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Love as you have been loved. Serve as you have been served by Christ. And know this, that in all this mindset of humility, know its end. It does not end in shame. It doesn't end in dishonor. It doesn't end in suffering. It doesn't end in death. It ends in the glorious resurrection to eternal life that is yours in Christ Jesus. For this Jesus, God the Father gave to be high and lifted up. And this Jesus was high and lifted up and served you. His back he gave to be torn apart with whips. His head he offered to be crowned with thorns. His hands he allowed to be stretched out on the cross. He gave his life unto death for you. He was placed in the tomb, but that's not where this led. God the Father raised him on the third day and gave him the name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus. That's a name above all names now. That man, that God who joined you in the flesh. Jesus doesn't simply mean the Lord who is. Jesus doesn't mean the Lord who provides, though he does all those things. Jesus actually means the Lord saves. The Lord saves you. The Lord saves me. The prideful, the arrogant, those who think they're everything. He brings us to nothing. He brings us to our knees and our weakness, so that we realize the truth. I can't fix my life. I can't make it better. I need someone to rescue me. I need someone to help me. I need someone to save me. And then he saves us in humble humility by giving his life unto death. But when he has risen from the dead, he is crowned with glory and honor. And the name is written not only in heaven, but your name is written there on the wounds of your Savior. Written in the book of life. He did all of this, not because you or I deserve it, but because that's who he is. The God of love, the God of service, the God of humility, the God who rides into Jerusalem this day, not on a chariot and a horse to do war, but in a donkey to give his life as a ransom. He rides on in lowly pomp to die. He loves you to the end. He suffers for you. He bleeds for you. He rises for you. And that moment changes everything. Thomas touches that flesh of Jesus, that risen flesh of Jesus. And that means now the earth and everything in it, the earth, the stars, the universe, they are now made a little lower than you. They're here to serve you. You are elevated to the place of God's glory and honor. He has called you by name, risen from the dead. He has reached into your life with his own body and touched your forehead and heart and your heart, saying, "You are mine." And because of that, you get to call God what you once couldn't call the Father. You get to call him that, Father. In a few minutes, you will pray, "Our Father." And you can do it in confidence and boldness because that's who you are. You're children of God. You are children of the Father. He has put his Spirit in you, and you can call Jesus your brother. Your repentance today, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," is the cause of rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who rejoices in heaven, over one sinner who repents. Angels rejoice in heaven rather than the 99 who need no repentance. There's more than one gathered here today. How much joy was there in heaven over more than just the one? Over all of us who are gathered in the name of God. Tell me, which tree, which rock, which plant, which sun, which star gets to say that? None of them. You do. Because God has joined you in the flesh. He has crowned your human body with immortality and life. So marvel at this week, dear saints of the living God. Marvel at the one who enters into Jerusalem on a donkey for crucifixion, for resurrection, for ascension. Marvel at the one who joined you in the flesh so that you may join him in your flesh in eternity, that you may see your God forever. Tears wiped away, sorrow no more, sins eternally forgotten and forgiven. That's the God you have. And when you realize that, you know what humility turns out to be? You know what obedience turns out to be? Not such a burden. Not such a burden after all. Humility is not a bad thing. It's a place of honor and privilege. It's the place of Christ at the cross. It's Christ's patience for you. It's a building of anticipation for that great and glorious day when you receive the crown of righteousness that does not fade away. A servant is not above his master. As the Lord washed the disciples' feet and served them, as the Lord gave his life unto death, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you are forgiven, and you are given to love and forgive and serve. Suddenly you begin to realize the truth of the matter. Humility is the purest and truest honor. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you today, humble, righteous, having salvation is he, mounted on the foal of a donkey. In Jesus' name, amen.